What's up, After Buzzers? We are back with another episode of Orange is the New Black. Tonight, Fig may or may not be pregnant. We have no idea. Vinny comes to visit Nikki. She's still protecting Lorna. And Gloria and Maria are back reunited together. We are covering all that and more right now.
The ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, After Buzzers?
What's up, everybody?
Back. Another episode back together
again.
I'm so happy to be reunited with you and to be reunited with y'all. Thank you so much for joining us again. Tonight we are going to be covering episode 11, season 7 of Orange is the New Black. Only two episodes to go after this. It's crazy. I'm your host, April Wissenhand, joined, of course, by my lovely Brianna.
Hello, everybody.
Such an emotional episode. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
This is the first episode this season that I actually cried real tears.
Same.
We were talking about that before.
Yeah.
And it's usually so hard because I'm watching a scripted show. Mm-hmm. But this one really got me.
It really got me too. Literally watching on the couch by myself, tears just streaming down my face because of the realness and because of how so much is obviously tied into what we're going through as a society today. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot for this body to handle.
Just too much.
Exactly. We have so much good stuff for y'all tonight. We have some great news and gossip. Be sure to stay tuned for our special segment as well. Tonight we are going to be doing who is our favorite character that we want to see come back in the final two episodes, even if it's just for a little snippet. So definitely stay tuned, and for our predictions for the rest of the season. I kind of want to get into are what I consider to be the most emotional part of the episode, and like we spoke about for you as well. Mm-hmm. We see some of the trials going on. Linda had the courtroom created outside of their, or in their prison, whatever, in their facility.
Yeah.
So now we are able to see all of these court cases going on. We see these two children, which we hear about, of course, all the time now, that mm-hmm. these children who were either brought here illegally by their parents, or, you know, a million different things why they could be here, being tried in a court, in a deportation hearing.
Yeah.
Literally the second they came on the screen, my heart just broke.
Sink, yeah.
I mean, see, her, and then I'm like, are these the questions that they really get asked?
Mm-hmm.
Because the judge asked them, you know,
do you even know what a lawyer is?
Right. And the little girl's like, can we go use the bathroom?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think that they even, this judge who we saw, you know, we'll talk about it, but she tries Blanca and Carla earlier mm-hmm. in the episode, and she seemed super hard. Even she seemed to kind of break down in this moment. How do you think that someone in that position can actually, like, do what they do?
I think it's a matter of detaching yourself from the situation emotionally,
mm-hmm.
because in her mind, she still is a representation of the government, so she can't allow her personal feelings to get involved.
Yeah.
But it's, even with that in mind, it's just kind of hard to imagine being able to do that. You see a courtroom full of children, mm-hmm. and then you see someone like Litvak, who could care less, saying an illegal is an illegal even if you're many.
Yeah. Hey, what did he say? He's like, we have the I forget what he said, but essentially on Fridays there's a lineup of kids that we have come through, because mm-hmm. they kind of like try to keep it separate because they know what it does to people to kind of see all of that going on.
Yeah.
I thought it was a super ballsy move of Orange is the New Black to do. Not
super.
That it's not even that it's, you know, we know that this happens every single day, but to me, it was just a ballsy move of them to put that out there in mm-hmm. such like a, you know, it has nothing to do with the story. It did not move the story as far as our characters forward whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing that, I was like, kind of
kudos to
them, because to people that maybe wouldn't feel, mm-hmm. I feel like they felt it.
Absolutely.
That moment.
Because you always hear about the stories, but it never really hits you until you go on social media or you watch the news and you see kids covering themselves with aluminum blankets, sleeping mm-hmm. on the ground, basically in cages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on top of that, because this is their last the series,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to make sure they hit it. Like, they really made a conscious effort to hit every single point to make sure their audience don't forget. Like, just because we're coming to an end, don't think like the rest of this stuff in the real world is coming to an end too. It's still continuing.
Exactly. I liked the effect that we see it have on Fig.
Mm-hmm. I love when she softens up.
Right?
It's beautiful.
The Ice Queen is now butter.
So butter.
She
is a kid.
She is all buttery.
Yes.
I mean, she's been going through these IVF treatments, and we see her have this moment where she sees the kids and she kind of breaks down, and Litvek, whatever they call him, he's being a total douchebag about it. And we know, like I said, she's been going through these treatments, but we see her earlier in the episode kind of relate or speak to this woman mm-hmm. named Chaj. Don't kill us for that pronunciation. Chaj is a character who she was raped mm-hmm. by a man coming into the country, and now mm-hmm. she's pregnant. Was Chaj not the character doing the rosemary in the water?
No.
That was a different character.
Yeah.
Because when she first came on the screen, okay, so this is just me mixing stuff up, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is a fake pregnancy, and like that must mean something by her boiling the rosemary in the water, and like that's what
it presents
as.
Her.
Oh, it was.
That was her.
Okay.
And I think that was her way of some type of abortion technique.
Oh.
I think that's what that was.
Oh, wow.
I thought when you said that, I thought there was a woman in the water during her, when they did the backstory,
doing
rosary or something. okay. Yeah, no.
It was her.
Yeah, that was her.
Okay.
That was her.
Got mm-hmm. it. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy if that is that kind of form. But we see her ask for an abortion in the episode. Mm-hmm. And this, with that coupled with seeing the kids, Fig goes to her IVF person and says, I want an abortion. Do you think that Fig is actually pregnant, or do you not?
Here's the thing. I think part of me thinks she might be pregnant, because you can't say I'm pregnant and give your doctor a urine sample mm-hmm. and not be pregnant.
Right.
Because your doctor is going to take it and test it.
Yeah.
However, I don't think that, I don't know, my gut just doesn't, I don't get pregnant vibes from Fig. I feel like it's super rant. I don't know.
Well,
we
have two episodes left to figure that out.
I would hope they would lead up to her getting pregnant instead of just throwing it in there, now Fig is pregnant.
Right.
Like, I would think that there would be steps that would get to that eventually.
Well, we've seen them going through the IVF process the whole season, and all of these conversations that they've had about it. Like, that's essentially been one of the main parts of their storyline.
Yeah.
But I just think that we would have seen her telling Caputo after.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was thinking about that too. But then I said, well, maybe they'll save it for next episode. But I'm like, that's too big of a deal to. I don't know. It's so hard.
I thought for sure, definitely she's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a sprinkling of doubt when I think of everything, because she gets the abortion pill from the doctor, obviously, and we mm-hmm. see her give it to the lady, mm-hmm. which I say that just because. You know, obviously, abortion is a very hot topic, will always be a hot topic.
Yeah.
But I think in that moment, more than anything, and especially for her, as a woman trying so hard to get pregnant, and then you have another woman, mm-hmm. granted, let's take the circumstances out of it, mm-hmm. this woman is pregnant and could have the potential to have a baby. So, to me, it was almost one of, like, the most selfless things that we've seen Fig done.
Absolutely.
Or Fig do, I should say. Just because you feel that she's truly trying to help the woman, mm-hmm. regardless of any feelings. I highly doubt that Fig, especially at this point, is, like, pro-abortion.
Right, but especially now.
Yeah, it just... Like I said, the Ice Queen is butter.
Did you think that she, like, before it came, you saw what the truth was, did you think she was pregnant and she wanted to get an abortion? Because I was convinced by the crying and the story she gave the doctor. In my head, I'm like, what are you doing?
Right?
Like, why would you want to, did you believe her?
I thought, oh my God.
Yeah.
She saw these kids and now she wants to have an abortion.
Yeah.
Because people, they always say that, like, you get pregnant when you stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been doing all this stuff to get pregnant, and then whoop-de-doo, now you're just pregnant naturally.
Exactly.
So I was like, wow, that affected me. But girl, have your baby.
And now
don't
you
let
don't
these
want
evils.
It? Yes.
I fully believed it, which just goes to show that she's an amazing actress,
yes,
obviously.
She is.
And for the transformation, I say this now because I don't know how much more we'll see her throughout the rest of the episodes, mm-hmm. with there only being two left, but the transformation that they've made of her character from being just, like, the most hated mm-hmm. person ever to now she's like this big softy with Caputo.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job.
But she still hasn't lost herself.
Right.
She's still really tough. And that just shows how amazing she is as an actress, but also how great the writers are, too.
Mm-hmm. I guess we do have Linda to kind of replace her as the total ice queen.
Linda is just so, she's just so extra. She's such an extra piece.
She is. I also kind of like, I don't like her character, but I kind of like her character.
You kind of like her character?
Because I think she plays it so well.
Okay.
Like, she is just, like, the most evil of the evil.
It
doesn't
makes it
care,
easy
whatever.
To hate her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she plays it well.
Okay. Yeah.
That's,
I get that.
I don't lie. I'm not like, yay, Linda. You're my best friend.
Yeah, you're Linda.
I do still think Lipik is hot, though, but that's for another day. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
I know. Also, tying into the kids is we, of course, see Blanca and Carla's trial dates have gotten moved up. All of this stuff with Carla is another one of the moments that really just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't forget that her husband died and she had all of the, you know, had this whole life. And granted, I forget if both of them weren't actual citizens or she wasn't, I don't know, but neither here nor there. But to see her going through the process, did you think that she was gonna end up getting off or, you know?
I really thought she was going to at least get more time to work on her case because she's been so diligent. However, when I was listening to her testimony, I knew, before the judge even said anything, I knew it wasn't enough because, just like the judge said, she was only making a case for her kids.
And her kids are citizens.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. It really, really hurt me to see that outcome for her because you get to watch her, how hard she's worked, and she's on the computer all the time. And you see other people, they just want the computer to play games or whatever, or they've never seen a computer before.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in survival mode. And the fact that she even gave Blanca advice to help her, even though she got her deportation status and she put that to the side and still wanted to help Blanca, I think that was amazing.
Yeah. Why do you think she didn't fight for more time?
I think the argument she was making was to try to get more time.
Okay.
But it wasn't strong enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's, so when the judge asked her, like, do you have a lawyer? And she said, no, I'm representing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I guess we have to think of it as being like she has to do it at some point. And she's obviously fighting to get her kids back.
Exactly.
So, like, you can't just push it off because you're not going to, then you're never going to see your kids if you keep doing that. But I was a little worried at first because I just was like, oh, I feel like you should be asking for more time to get a lawyer. But I think she just has kind of fully accepted the fact that she wasn't going to get one.
I think, I'm not sure if this hearing was one of those that was your last chance type.
Okay, yeah, maybe it was.
You know, so it's, yeah, I'm not really sure. It's such a messy situation. There are so many technicalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her argument also distracted from the point that she was, that she should have been trying to get more time because she was so focused on her kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Her kids, obviously we see the phone call.
Oh my God.
I want to definitely talk about that episode because it's another part that just really affected me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think Gloria should have given her that phone?
No.
No, me either.
No.
I was like, are we evil?
When Gloria did it, I was like, no, Gloria, you are kids. And I know that it sounds selfish, but when you've been in prison for as long as you have and Gloria already had added time, why risk it? I know I wouldn't.
No.
And not to sound harsh, but it's not like you being able to call your kids is going to make the situation different.
Right. It'll make you feel better, but it's not going to change the outcome.
It's not
changing
anything. So why am I going to risk my freedom for you to not have a different type of outcome? You're not calling a lawyer. You're calling your kids.
This is the thing. Obviously, we can both, and everybody out there can agree, like, oh my gosh, it's the selfless, most sweetest thing that you could do. Like, she was just being, you know, woman to woman. Like, I know you need to talk to your kids. You haven't spoken to them. They have no idea where you are. Like, we can fully get that. And, like, absolutely, it was the quote-unquote right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in that situation, just knowing what Gloria's been through, and I don't think that they have that moment of her hesitating.
Yeah.
Without it being for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they can get caught at any moment. There are she's already gone above and beyond for these
absolutely
for the people in there. So it just seems like at what point is there going to be a stop?
And that's why I thought, because she's done so much already, I felt like her doing that, going that extra mile with the phone, I was like, oh, this is going to be the moment she gets caught, because you're really pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
But I think it's the fact that Carla has two boys, and Gloria has boys to go home to, and I think that hit a soft spot in her, where she just relented and said, I see myself in you, because they are the same person. Carla's just in ICE and Gloria's just in prison.
Exactly. When she has the conversation with her kids, why was the foster mom hesitant to let her speak to them? Just maybe she's not supposed to.
I don't know. I think it's I don't see. Part of me was wondering, maybe she was afraid of what Carla might say to the boys, if it was going to be something confusing, or if she was giving them false hope, and maybe she wanted to protect them from that. But also, a part of me is like, she doesn't care that much.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess she did the maybe the right thing legally by like putting it on speakerphone, because I don't know what the laws are with that. I have genuinely no idea, so I guess I shouldn't speak on it, obviously. But I'm happy that she let her speak to them. And the conversation truly like broke my heart, and seeing these little boys, like, we have to remember these are young actors, and I'm like, give them all the awards, because the tears running down their faces just are killer.
It was so it sent chills.
Because
I never cry for stuff like, I'm not an easy crier, but when it comes on to a scene where you see like a loss of innocence or just children hurting, and there's no easy conception of what's going on, you just have to hope for the best. That's what really hit home for me.
Right.
And then you think about all the kids in real life that do have to get that phone call, or they don't get that phone call at all. Their parents just disappear. And I think it was that real life factor that really got it for me too.
I am like, I guess at least slightly appreciative that they were able to put them in a foster situation
together.
Sometimes that is definitely not the case. Obviously this is not a good scenario whatsoever, but I'm like, at least they showed us that like the boys were okay. I guess that was like the Orange is the New Black writers being nice to us, because they haven't been very nice to us this season.
Maybe because they were born in America, so they're citizens, versus the kids that had to go to trial. They were brought over with their parents.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
The other trial that we see is Blanca's, and she, for lack of a better term, it kills it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Carly, right? Carly gave us, or gave her the words to say, but I think she did it perfectly and has set herself up for a good, hopefully good scenario.
Oh, God bless Carla.
What did she call it? Let me look at my notes. What was it? It was a stay of removal to fight her original conviction in criminal court. So the conviction that she's fighting is the riot.
Stuff,
right?
Because her lawyer gave her basically told her, if you take ownership of the riot, then you'll get less time. But basically that was a lie, and she didn't know that was going to affect her status.
Right. Which is another topic. You know, they didn't kind of go into it too much, but the whole point of ineffective counsel.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Because it's actually a big topic on another show that I've been watching recently. Just like people, you know, you're given a court-appointed attorney. They have, I mean, we see the hundreds of women that were just in this detention center alone.
Yeah.
So they don't have time to kind of go through and fight their cases and stuff like that. So do you think that they're not to go into predictions with her, but do you think that this could lead into a potential happy ending for Blanca? Because of the positivity that kind of came out of the end of it?
I think so, because she has a strong case when it comes on to the ineffective counsel.
Right.
So I definitely can see something very bright. And I would hope that they wouldn't get her this far in getting out of ICE to end up getting, deported or, you know, whatever. So, but she has a strong case.
I think so, too. Our other, we call them our ICE ladies, kitchen ladies, Gloria and Maria, reunited.
Like, Gloria is not feeling it, and I love it. She's so real.
Do you think Gloria should be more forgiving?
No.
No, of course not.
No, not at all.
But don't we forget that they both did each other wrong, but Maria did Gloria more wrong.
Yeah, Maria did it more wrong.
Yeah.
When you play, the moment you play with me and my kids and seeing my kids and getting out of jail and having freedom, mm-hmm. it's a wrap. Like, there's no respect there at all. So at that point, we're in survival mode.
Right. But didn't Gloria get time added on to Maria's sentence?
But I think Maria made the first jab.
Right. So it was essentially her protecting herself.
Yeah, she was just reacting.
Did you think that Maria's apology was going to actually have any effect on Gloria?
I think it's more of the connection of having children.
Yeah.
I don't think Gloria really cared about the apology itself. I think she just empathized with the fact that Maria has a daughter
right.
to go home to. And she's not going to be able to see her as soon as Gloria's going to be able to see her sons.
Oh, yeah, because I forget that she has so much longer
in prison.
Well, I'm glad that we got to kind of shortly see them be reunited, but it worries me that Maria is kind of like looking at what's happening, and that's what also worries me, because mm-hmm. people are being a lot more open with like passing the notes and mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried that Maria could potentially kind of use that to get back at Gloria in some way.
I think, especially with the personality that Maria's formed now, that she wants to be this good guy.
Right.
I'm afraid of her being a snitch and feeling like she has to say something.
Right. Well, because in the end of their segment, we see them get caught with the phone.
Yes.
So what are we going to do about that?
I hope Maria takes responsibility for the phone.
Really?
I hope so. I feel like that would be a way of getting Gloria to forgive her.
When I heard the buzz, my heart just dropped.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, it wasn't worth it.
Right.
Because I don't think they'll rat on each other, but it's like, I don't know. It's just a little disheartening, I guess. Before we move on to our next topic, you have a little something?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
I have an amazing something for all of our viewers and listeners. Thank you so much from April and I and the rest of AfterBuzz for making AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV talk. We appreciate you guys tuning in every week to watch your amazing, crazy thrillers, mysteries, reality TVs, comedies, everything under the sun. We take care of it here. So if you're watching right now on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star rating, because we're 5-star ladies. So thank you so much, and make sure you follow us on all social media.
Yes, thank y'all so much for tuning in. I'm in chat right now, and I see y'all in there, so definitely let us know what you thought of the episode, because we are full of emotions, obviously.
Basket cases.
Regular basket cases over here. I want to talk about Nikki and the many things that she has going on, but first about her, let's call her girlfriend, Shawnee, is getting deported, getting sent back to Egypt. We have the moment of her, it's a flashback of sorts with her family, and her brother has caught her. Did you know that, I guess, a family would, like, harm a daughter in that situation? I'm thinking of the moment of where the dad says, like, you know I would never hurt you, but I don't know that the rest of my family would not.
Yeah, I do know of it. Because there are a lot of countries out there that are still in this mindset of homosexuality as this huge thing to be embarrassed of. So a lot of times, like he said, even though he wouldn't, there are definitely fathers that would do it just for the simple fact that they look at it as if you're embarrassing the family name.
Right.
So it's just, it's really sad to have to feel like you have to hide yourself from your family like that. And then you come to the country to where you are supposed to be able to have these opportunities to be yourself. And then you get shipped right back just because you're not a legal citizen.
Right.
Which makes an amazing point to say, if Shawnee had the type of advice that she could get from Carla, she could prove that going back to Egypt is a threat to her life.
That's a great point.
I just noticed that.
Yeah.
But she just never had that moment of,
knowledge.
And she wasn't even given the opportunity of the kind of trial that they were. Maybe she was at some point, but obviously we didn't get to see that.
Yeah.
And it just kills me that she's seemingly never going to get to see Nikki again.
Yeah.
I do like that the show kind of sprinkled in these newer and what maybe seemed at the time or at the beginning of the episode random stories of characters that we, you know, didn't know and love for many, many years as we have with the rest of the people on the show, because I feel like they've affected us in sometimes even bigger ways than they have. But I think the ultimate here is just with seeing Nikki will have to do with that, and then all that she's kind of having to do with the Lorna situation.
Yeah. She's taking on a lot.
That's on another level. The scene where Vinny comes to visit her, did you think he was going to tell her?
Or? Yeah, I thought he was, because he knows how close Nikki and Lorna are.
Yeah.
And he knows his wife is mentally, she's just gone.
Yeah.
And out of everybody in that prison that he at least has some type of acquaintanceship with, Nikki is a safe person to tell.
Right. Why do you think Nikki feels the sense of needing to protect Lorna so much? Because like in the conversation where they're saying he's like, she needs help, they're going to send her to Florida, which is essentially where we know the psych patients are, obviously. But we know that Nikki and Lorna have had a very close relationship for a very long time. But why do you think she feels the need to like keep her from getting the help that we can kind of see that she needs?
I think part of it, maybe Nikki doesn't believe that the patients in Florida are getting treated well, and Lorna's not going to get the best treatment there. I also think Nikki just doesn't want to be alone because she's going through this whole thing with Red, where Red is losing herself mentally. And eventually, Red is going to most likely end up in Florida, too, with this diagnosis.
Right.
So I think Nikki is just trying to hold on to as many people as she can. And I think this situation with Lorna is going to make Nikki unravel in a way.
I think so, too. And that kills me because she's gone through so much in the show, just as far as, like, being addicted to drugs, obviously, and coming off of that, and all of the little relationships that she's had here and there. I almost, in a way, think that she is becoming the prison mom.
Red would be so proud, though.
I know, but that's, I'm like, it seems like she's taking on all of these people that she kind of, like, needs to protect. So, I thought it was a little not that smart when she asked Luzchek to move Lorna to her bunk, or for her to move to Lorna's bunk.
Oh, why not?
Well, because I just thought, like, sometimes things are a little too close for comfort. Like, okay. Someone can take care of you, but not having them on top of you all the time also could be a good thing.
I understand that.
But then when they had the scene of where Nikki finds out that Shawnee has been deported, obviously, without getting to see her, I thought for a second, just seeing how Lorna reacted to that with her, I thought that that might kind of bring Lorna back a little bit. Just because she seemed to to genuinely snap out of it for a second. She's like, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she helped Nikki in that situation. But I don't think that's going to last very long.
No, I don't think Lorna doesn't know what reality is.
No.
She's so lost. So that moment of clarity was literally just a moment.
Do you think she's had a full-on, like, break?
Yeah. She's broken.
Yeah.
I've never seen Lorna so broken before. Like, it actually, before it was comical. Now I sympathize with her.
Exactly. I think seeing her, and just seeing the how well she's been hiding it, essentially. Like, when Vinny says to Nikki, you're her best friend, you're with her every day, you had no idea.
Yeah.
I think that's when it hit me personally, anyway, that this was a real thing that maybe Nikki is like, can't handle.
Yeah.
She's not a doctor. Like, I know she kind of wants to ignore that she has a real problem, because Lorna is, you know, a friend and has been whatever is considered to be normal for a long time. But kind of having her in that situation, it just scares me a little bit.
Definitely.
For her. But we'll see. Another scary situation, Piper. Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lord. Piper and her drama.
Piper and her drama. See, having McCullough show up at her doorstep.
She is wild.
Did you think that they, at any point in the show, and I ask this, well, I'll explain why I ask this.
Okay.
Did you think at any point in the show that Piper was going to find out about Alex and Alex was going to find out about Piper?
I did think so eventually.
Yeah.
But I didn't think she would find out in that way.
No.
Because McCullough is unhinged.
Yeah.
But I thought Alex would blurt it out randomly one day. Like, I thought it was going to be a situation where Piper goes to Alex, mm-hmm. and she's saying, I can't do this hooking up thing. I want to be with you. And mm-hmm. Alex is just saying, I had sex with McCullough.
Right.
Now, please go and have sex with someone.
Right.
But, no.
It's seeing... So I did not think we would find out because I was like, I feel like that's going to be their story. Mm. The story of, okay, we're together when we're together, but then, like, you see a piece of candy and you go after it, and I see a piece of candy and I go after it.
Who, Alex and McCullough?
Alex and Piper.
Okay.
And it was kind of, like, making me angry because I'm like, really? This many years of this relationship, and then it's just going to be like, oh, we do our own thing,
right,
and we're together.
Marriage.
So... I obviously did not think that it was going to happen ever in the way of McCullough showing up because mm-hmm. even though we've seen McCullough be a little off, she real off.
She had crazy eyes.
She is fully in the deep end.
Yeah.
Covered with 5 feet of water.
Yes.
I mean, even in the scene where she's like talking to Alex, she just looks insane. But I get it. I get it because Alex took an already very emotionally, at this point in time, disturbed person. Mm-hmm. She's burning herself mm-hmm. because of trauma from the riot. Totally, fully get it. Like, mm-hmm. we would all probably go a little crazy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she took her in this situation, and I mean, it was all McCullough. It definitely wasn't Alex reeling her in.
Right.
But, like... I'm almost like, should you not have seen that she was... I think she did see that. She saw the burns.
Yeah, I think it goes to show... Just like with last episode, it mm-hmm. showed that Alex likes people who are broken. And she likes to take people under her wing. It's like she's attracted to chaos in a way.
Right.
And I think she felt like Piper was doing so well for herself and she was getting more independent. Mm-hmm. But then she had McCullough who had nothing. She couldn't lose her job. She's vulnerable. She's broken.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, and you burn yourself? Cherry on top.
Right?
I want that.
That's a snack right there.
Yes, that's a snack. A whole meal. So she went for... She likes the crazy. She likes it.
And I think maybe seeing Piper going to all of these things and, like, what takes Zelda out of it, but going to yoga and having a normal life and, like, going to this gala, mm-hmm. like, I think she's like, oh, okay, well, you're all better.
Yeah.
Not that she feels good about that. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously, she does not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that probably takes a little bit of the edge off for her.
Yeah.
Obviously, we see Piper ends up going to Zelda's house.
Mm-hmm.
I did love Piper's reaction to McCullough, though. I'll say that.
Me too.
I love that she was like, get off my porch. You're psychotic.
Me too.
And not that she still had that prisoner guard sort of thing.
Like,
she was like, go away.
I love that.
But we see her go to Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Too big of a quick reaction or no?
I think it's typical Piper.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anything more. Would I do it? No. But it's typical Piper reaction off emotion.
She and Alex kind of do the same thing. We've seen the flashbacks, obviously, with Alex's ex-girlfriend. And the second something was going wrong or she thought that the ex-girlfriend was doing something, she hooks up with Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And then Piper, she doesn't know any facts. She mm-hmm. just knows that a crazy woman showed up on her doorstep and mm-hmm. said, well, I've been with Alex, or whatever she said.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that made you run off and go cheat on your wife?
Right.
I mean, I think she was probably kind of already... Not probably. I think she was already emotionally cheating mm-hmm. on her.
She was.
And clearly had the feelings.
Mm-hmm. And but that is considered cheating, people.
It is.
It is.
It is. But to see her fully act on it in that moment
mm-hmm.
was just, I don't know, not a good idea,
it's
I guess.
It's not a good idea, and it's just one of those many moments where Piper just does what she wants at that moment because she's upset. But I guess we'll just see how she feels the morning after.
Exactly. She was looking extra good, though, because Sophia! Yes.
What's here? I was so happy to see Sophia.
I was the way not expecting that.
Oh my God, the way she came in. She did not change at all.
No.
I loved it.
It was such a random moment because we haven't seen any other person that the parole officer was talking to. So when she turned around and she's like, oh, honey. I loved it. And then she did her hair.
Yes.
And the conversation that they had about essentially moving on from the people that were a part of your criminal past. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that had some effect on Piper in her decision making with all the rest, or do you think it didn't really matter to her?
I don't think it mattered. I think she heard her.
Yeah.
But I don't think it mattered because Piper is a very stubborn person. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would carry enough weight for Piper to just up and say, you know what? I look at my marriage differently.
Right. But seeing the parole officer having the conversation of, have you removed the people? Have you, what aspirations do you have? Mm-hmm. And then having Sophia kind of say the same thing, like, she's in jail for 3 more years. Yeah. She's this. I wonder if they're doing that as a show because they want us to be okay with them ultimately not being together.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Because it's so draining. Like, they haven't grown as a couple, but they haven't done worse. They're just really stagnant.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're in a relationship with someone, they should elevate you and you them.
Yeah.
And I don't see that with Alex and Piper. I just see a really draining, empty relationship that's just really, all they have in common is prison and sex.
That's very true.
I don't get it.
I liked that they showed us, I mean, obviously, we've hated on Piper a little bit.
Yes,
but
we have.
I think I'm fully back on Team Piper now. Because I do like the sides of her that they're showing us. Mm-hmm. I also really liked that they showed us that Sophia went through some terrible trauma in prisons, a lot of times worse than the rest. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of stuff in her life. And she's out of jail and thriving. She's doing what she loves. She's helping people along the way that she meets, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I liked that they gave us that aspect other than just, like, jail does this to you and you're on the streets after and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, not to, obviously, that happens to a lot of people, but I liked that they gave us a little cheery moment.
Yeah, because we saw that. Oh my goodness, not Tasty. Cindy's like on the streets.
Exactly.
And it's just,
not doing well, obviously. Mm-hmm. Before we get into our special segment, anything else? I do want to say that the moment where they do the drug check at the very beginning of the episode, I think that's going to set some bad, bad, bad stuff up for Daya and Alayda.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everything of Daya's and nothing of Alayda's.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to see how far this drug war goes with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Daya's going to do anything to physically harm Alayda, but part of me feels like Alayda is concerned for Daya in terms of her drug use versus more trying to be the one in charge. I think Alayda looks at least if she's running the drug scene, it will force Daya to get clean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping is her.
You think Alayda's a much better mom than Daya does, apparently.
Yeah, clearly.
We'll see. Okay, well, that wraps up our episode, or our part about the actual episode. Let's do our special segment.
Yes.
Tonight, our special segment is going to be a character that we want to see come back for at least a small part of one of the final two episodes. Obviously, they've brought back a lot of our favorites this season so far, but there are still a few that they have not.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you choose as yours?
I chose Judy King.
Love it.
Love Judy.
I miss Judy King.
She's so funny. That fiery red hair with that fiery personality and that country accent.
Right.
She is everything. If you guys don't remember, Judy King had a threesome with Luzchek. And oh my gosh.
Stop.
I did not remember that. You don't remember?
I remember now.
And it was the yoga character. I can't remember her name.
Yoga Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they had the grossest threesome ever, and she wrote a book when she came out of prison.
Yeah.
So I would love to see Judy King again. She's
That's
everything.
Amazing. I love it. I've talked about him a lot, so y'all probably already know who mine is, but mine, we have a picture of him, is the lovely C.O. Bennett. Here he is in the show. I feel like he's the only person that could truly bring Daya back.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. Do you think so? Like, from where she is now, obviously. They had a true, real relationship.
Yeah, they
did. And I loved it. I also loved his character. And then I had another picture. He posted this on Matt McGorry, who played him, on Instagram, of him with, like, the
so
OG
cute.
Cast. Pusey's in there. Obviously,
Dang,
we'd love to see
Susanna,
her.
Look at, what's her name's wig?
Everybody's in there.
That's
so
the OG wig.
I love seeing them, like, as a cast. So I would love to see him back. But I don't think we're going to.
I would think, do you think seeing her baby could send her back?
I mean, maybe.
I could see that.
Mr. Mustache has that.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's do some news and gossip.
Yes, some news and gossip.
Yes.
Give me my intro. So, one of our favorites, Maritza, or Diane Guerrero.
Yeah.
She's going to be in a TV series. It's actually a DC comic. So, we have a trailer here ready and up for you guys to watch.
Go, Diane.
So happy for her.
Me too. I feel like anything she's in.
Do you remember what it felt like to be normal?
You need to pay attention to what we're saying.
Look at her. She's total psycho.
So obviously a very different side of her than we've seen on Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
So I look forward to that. When does this premiere? Do we know?
So they are shooting now.
Got it.
But they are going to premiere in 2020. So we have time for that to prepare. So there are a whole bunch of trailers and stuff. You guys can go on YouTube and look up the DC comic. But yes, it's called Doom. Oh my gosh, I'm tongue tied. Okay, Doom Patrol, and she's gonna be basically playing a superhero with multiple personalities, Crazy Jane. And I'm just so excited to see her in a different light.
I love seeing her doing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I love this.
I know. Our scary lights. Two more episodes left. Not much that we can predict. But what's, like, a big thing that you think is going to happen?
I think Tasty is going to come to a moment where she's going to stop all this suicide foolishness.
I hope so.
And I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe a conversation with Suzanne. Maybe the GED work she's doing will change things around for her. So hopefully, because it's going to make Ward look really bad if someone else dies under her care.
Right.
So I just hope that she changes her mind with it. What do you think?
I think that... I don't know. I've been thinking the whole time we're not going to get a happy ending for Tasty.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they wouldn't kill her, though.
Like, yeah.
I just, not that they would kill her, meaning, like, period. I don't want her to die on the show committing suicide. Obviously, I don't think anyone will kill her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to get a happy ending for her. She even had that moment in tonight's episode where she's talking to Caputo about the, like, microloans thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're giving us a little hope of, like, seeing her happy just to, like, shut
the
it down. Because she's one of the characters we've cared about most, probably, throughout the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that we're going to go out with, like, a bang of some sort. I don't think it's going to be, like, pretty little bow, even if it's, you know, not a good situation. I think it's going to be... I just think something bad is going to happen. Only because we read that article earlier in the season where they said you're not going to get a lot of happy endings.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So,
oh, gosh, I'm on edge now.
I know. We'll see. We have two more episodes.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so excited. I mean, obviously... just freaking out still,
right.
But that's okay. Well, thank you all so much for joining us, everybody in chat. We really appreciate y'all watching with us. We will definitely see you soon for episodes 12 and the finale, episode 13.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, y'all can find all of us everywhere at AfterBuzz TV. You can find me at April Wissenhant.
You can find me on Instagram at IMB_Cheyenne, CHIANNE.
Thank y'all so much for watching. See you soon.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.